If you would, please. And let's open to Revelation chapter 20. And as you open to Revelation 20, I will remind you that, yes, on the one hand, all throughout the Bible, God is teaching us about Jesus Christ. The Bible is all about Jesus Christ. Jesus appeared to his disciples in Luke 24 after he had risen from the dead, and he showed them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So all throughout the Bible, God is speaking to us about Jesus Christ. But in addition to that, from Genesis 3 through Revelation 20, God is also teaching us about the enemy of Jesus Christ, who is also your enemy, and that is the devil, Satan, the serpent of old. And we are going to find out this morning the good news about the devil. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And then we'll read what happens after that. For the past 20 years at least, since 9/11 of 2001, terrorists have been headline news. And with very few exceptions, that news has been bad. And you say, well, what are the exceptions? When is it ever good? Well, it's only good news when one of the terrorist kingpins is taken out. And that's often presented as good news, right? Have you heard the good news about Osama bin Laden? Have you heard the good news about al-Baghdadi? I can't pronounce most of their names. Have you heard the good news about Soleimani? And it's presented as, hey, good news, they've taken one of these terrorist kingpins out. By the way, that's called the kingpin strategy, where they try to take out one kingpin, and everybody feels good about that, and they hope that maybe terrorism is going to go away. But here is what we never hear. We never hear that they've taken out Osama bin Laden's boss, or al-Baghdadi's boss, or Soleimani's boss. We never hear that they've taken out the one who is badder than all of them put together, who is constantly operating behind the scenes invisibly, and who is behind a lot more evil in this world than just terrorism. You know who I mean, right? The devil. We never hear that they've taken out the one who deceives the entire world, who despises God and Christ and his word and Christians, who destroys marriages and families and churches and children. We never hear that they've taken him out. And so when they take out a terrorist kingpin, we just say, well, just wait, there will be another. And sure enough, there is. Well, we never hear that they've taken him out because they can't. But have you heard the good news about the devil? There is one who can and who will, and the time is near. Revelation, you recall, is all about the things which must shortly take place. The whole book, the things which must shortly take place. And here in these beginning verses of chapter 20, we learn about one more thing that must shortly take place. It is going to happen at the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. It will happen before he establishes his millennial kingdom on the earth. And it is the binding of Satan for 1,000 years in the abyss, followed by, as you'll see, the casting of Satan into the lake of fire, where he will be tormented forever and ever. And this really is good news. There is coming a day, and the time is near, when God is going to take Satan out of the way. Praise the Lord. But to understand just how good that news is, and to see how this good news is good news even in the present, before all of that happens, We're going to answer two main questions. They're in your bulletin. The first question is, well, who are we talking about here exactly? There are four names given to us in verse 2. They are meant to remind us of who it is God is going to take out. So we're going to remind ourselves of what God has told us in Scripture about the devil. So that's question number one, who are we talking about exactly? And question number two, what exactly is the good news about him, and how is that good news for today? So simple two-question outline. Who are we talking about exactly? Well, take a look at verses 1 and 2. John says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil, and Satan." Four designations for the devil: the dragon, the serpent of old, the devil, and Satan. Those four words are meant to be a reminder of who it is that God is going to take out of the way. So from those four words, we're going to remind ourselves of quite a few truths about the devil. You need to know who is your enemy. You need to know who it is that Christ is greater than, who it is that Christ is against, who it is that our battle in this life is against, because we don't battle against flesh and blood, right? We battle against the devil and his demons. So, from those four names, we're going to gather a bunch of other truths. Follow along if you would. You're going to need to have your Bible, and you're going to have to be nimble with your fingers. So first, the devil is called the dragon, which means that he is a monster. The devil is a monster. If your children ask, are monsters real? Say, yes, the devil is real, and he's a monster. Don't say, no, they're not real. No, there is a devil, and he's a monster. And to see how bad of a monster he really is, I want you to turn back to Revelation 12, where God was telling us about this monster. Revelation 12. And from the word monster, you're going to learn six truths about the devil, just from this first word. So first is that the devil is the monster behind many of this world's leaders. The devil is the monster behind many of this world's leaders. Look at chapter 12, verse 3. 12:3 says that another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red what? Say it loud. Dragon. Make sure you're following along. Another sign appeared in heaven, a great fiery red dragon. That is a reference to the devil. And it says, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. Now, we covered that when we were here in Revelation 12, but I'll remind you, these multiple heads and multiple horns and multiple diadems signify that the devil is behind many of this world's leaders. He is the one empowering them, motivating them, inspiring them, giving them evil ideas. So that's truth number one. The devil is the monster behind many of this world's leaders. Truth number two, the devil is the monster who hates Jesus Christ and wants to destroy him from the earth. Look at the next verse, verse 4. His tail, that is the tail of this dragon, drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. Who was the woman? Do you know? You remember? Israel. Very good. The woman represents Israel. And who's the child? Jesus. The devil's a monster. The devil is the monster who hates Jesus Christ, wanted to destroy him when he was born, but do you think he wants to destroy him today? Absolutely. The devil is still operating. The devil is still alive and well on planet Earth, and so are his army of demons. So what am I saying? I'm saying the devil is a monster. He's behind many of this world's leaders. He hates Jesus Christ and wants to destroy him. And he has an army of demons who fight against heaven. Look down at verse 7. 12:7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Now we also saw this from verses 3 and 4, when his tail drew a third of stars behind him. You remember the story. Satan was originally created by God as an angel. That high angel sinned against God, right? That angel sinned against God and was cast out of heaven. But he still exists. We'll get later. Stay tuned. We'll get later to why it is that he still exists. But he also took down with him some portion, maybe a third, of the other angels created by God. And now what you have in this world is the devil and an army of demons. That's real. That is real life. Don't teach your children that demons are fake. They're not fake. The devil is real and evil, and so are his demons. He is a monster. He's behind many of this world's leaders. He hates Jesus Christ and wants to destroy him. He has an army of demons who fight against heaven. Fourth truth under this word dragon. The devil is the monster who deceives this whole world. Look at 12:9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. Sounds familiar, right? We just read that out of chapter 20. Who deceives the whole world. That is written in the present tense. Who deceives this entire world. Now that does not mean that he deceives every single individual or that every single individual on the planet today is deceived. What it does mean is that the devil successfully deceives so many people in the world that the Bible rightly says he deceives the whole world. Sad, right? There is a devil. He is a monster. He is behind many of our world's leaders. He hates Jesus Christ and wants to destroy him. He has an army of demons who fight against heaven, and he deceives the whole world. What does he deceive the whole world to believe? In part, he deceives the whole world to believe that he's not dangerous, or that God isn't real, or that Jesus isn't the Savior, or that Christ isn't coming again, or that your sin isn't that bad. The devil successfully deceives many people into believing lies. And people believe all kinds of lies. That's how bad he is. Fifth truth, the devil is the monster who despises and persecutes Israel. Look at verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. That is a reference to Israel. And to this day, Israel, by and large, as a nation, is a persecuted nation. The only reason that Israel has continued to exist on the face of the earth is because of the sovereignty of God. That is the only explanation. And if you don't believe in the sovereignty of God, then you don't believe probably that that's why Israel exists. But that's why. God, in his grace, chose to set his love upon Israel, not because they were any better than any other nation. In spite of the fact that they were not better than any other nation, God chose to set his love on Israel, and because of that, they still exist to this very day. And who's the devil? That monster that hates Israel. And sixth, the monster who despises all who keep the commandments of God. Look at 12:17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. By way of implication and application and from other scriptures, the devil is the monster who hates all Christians, who hates anyone who keeps the word of God, and who has the testimony concerning Jesus Christ. In short, the devil is a monster. Back to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. He is called not only the dragon or the monster, he's called the serpent of old, that snake. So the devil is a monster, he's also a snake. Well, what do we know about this snake? Turn back, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. And here we learn a number of things about this snake. This is a very important verse for demonology or angelology, the study of angels and demons. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, says, "But I fear for you, lest somehow, just as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds might become corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And there are a number of truths we're going to learn about the devil from this verse. The first one is that the devil is the snake who deceived Eve. The devil is that snake who deceived Eve. Well, who's Eve? Adam and Eve, right? The devil is that snake that deceived our great-great-great-great-grandparents. You'd have to multiply great by a few more times. He's that devil that deceived our grandparents, and they fell into sin, and sin entered into this world. He is the cause of sin entering into this world. But then let's remember the story, right? The serpent was more crafty or more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he had said to the woman, "Indeed, has God really said that you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And what do we learn from that first account of Satan? We learn some more truths about the devil. He is the snake who disguises himself even as an angel of light. Very good. Good for you. He's an angel that disguises, or he's a snake who disguises himself even as an angel of light, which means even as a messenger of truth, which is why you should always follow along in your Bibles. That's why you should always follow in your Bibles. Don't let anyone teach you and lead you astray. Keep me on track. All right, the devil is the snake who deceived Eve. The devil is a snake who disguises himself even as an angel of light or a messenger of truth. The devil is a snake who casts doubt. He casts doubt on God's character, on his word, on his goodness, on his greatness. The devil is always someone who's casting doubt. The devil is also someone who distorts. He distorts God's word. He denies it. He deceives others into doing the very same thing. He's also, notice, look again at 11:3, 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest somehow, just as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may become corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In other words, the devil is a snake who seeks to distort or corrupt Christians' minds. He seeks to draw us away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, what do you think the simplicity in Christ is? Well, some of your Bibles have a different translation. It's probably a good translation. He says that your minds may become corrupted from the simple and pure devotion to Christ. And that's probably what it is, right? The Christian life is, in a sense, it's very simple. Devote yourself to Jesus Christ. That's the Christian life. Devote yourself to knowing Him, to growing in your knowledge of Him, to understanding Him, to living for Him, to following His example, to loving Him, to teaching others about Him, to proclaiming Him. As Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Right? In other words, simple devotion to Christ. But you know what? In come false teachers who have all kinds of other things that they say you have to be doing if you're ever going to be saved. Right? False teachers, legalists come in and they have all their legalism. Or they have others that come in and they take away from Christ. They take away from the gospel. Or they twist the gospel. The devil is the snake who seeks to draw us away from simple, pure devotion to Jesus Christ. He's a monster and he's a snake. Back to Revelation 20. Back to Revelation 20. And what does it say? Verse 2 says, he laid hold of that dragon, he's a monster, that serpent of old, he's a snake, who is the devil. The devil. Anyone know what devil means? Diabolos? Slanderer, liar, false accuser would be good synonymous terms. Diabolos literally means slanderer, one who generally speaks lies to destroy the reputation of someone else. Someone who speaks lies to destroy the reputation of someone else. From that word, and I'm not going to take you to all these verses, from that word, we learn quite a few more truths about the devil. And you can just list them or just listen. The devil is the liar or slanderer who tempted Jesus Christ to worship him in the wilderness, Matthew 4 and Luke 4. You recall that, right? He is the liar, the slanderer who tempted Jesus Christ to worship him in the wilderness. He also is the one, he's the liar, who sows, S-O-W-S, who sows tares among the wheat. I won't test you on this, but do you remember what that means? What that means is he puts his children, children of the devil, in the church. That's what it means. That means in the church you can find people who are children of the devil. How can you tell they are children of the devil? They reject the truth. At some point, they get to the point where they will reject the truth. Just keep teaching truth long enough, and you'll find they get to the point where they reject it. He is the liar who sows tares among the wheat. He puts his children in the church. That's Matthew 13, verse 39. Also, he is the liar who takes the word of God out of people's hearts so that they will not believe and be saved. Luke 8:12. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes, the slanderer, and he takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. He's the liar who takes the word of God out of people's hearts so that they will not believe and be saved. Luke 8:12. And this one I want you to turn to, John 8:44. He is the liar and the father of liars. Turn to John 8:44. There are actually quite a few truths you could draw from this, but it is, again, a very important verse for your understanding of the enemy and your understanding of what's happening in the world because of his influence. John 8:44. And you remember this account, probably. Jesus had been speaking and doing miracles, and it says many believed in him. It really means many professed to believe in him. It says many believed in him, and then Jesus said to those who had believed in him, to those who had professed faith, he said this in verse 31, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." In other words, there's a test. We'll see if you abide in the word of Christ. And if you do, then that's proof positive that you are genuine believers. You know the story. They did not abide in his word, and I won't go through the entire text. But look down at 8:44. Jesus says to these people who are not abiding in his word, they're rejecting the truth, he says, "You are of your father, the devil." Boy, harsh words, right? I thought Jesus was nice. Well, he is nice. Jesus is speaking the truth in love to people who are rejecting the truth. And he says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning." There's the truth about the devil, right? He's the slanderer who was a murderer from the beginning. "And he does not stand in the truth." There's the truth about the devil. He doesn't stand in the truth. "Because there is no truth in him." There's no truth in the devil. He speaks lies. He can present lies as truth, or he can present half truths as full truth. But there's no truth in him. "When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of..." And it probably says lies or liars. It's probably he's the father of liars. He's the father of liars. Now listen, as I said, God wants you to know about Jesus Christ. But he is not keeping from you the truth about the enemy of Jesus Christ, who is also the enemy of your souls, the devil. And God talks to us about the devil from Genesis 3 all the way through Revelation 20. And we're going through just a few verses here to know that the devil is a monster. The monster behind many of our world's leaders. The monster who hates Jesus Christ and wants to destroy him. The monster with an army of demons who fight against heaven. A monster who deceives the whole world and despises and persecutes Israel and despises and persecutes Christians. He's a snake who deceived Eve by his craftiness. He disguises himself even as an angel of light. He casts doubt on God's character and his word. He deceives others into doing the same. He distorts God's word and denies it. And he's a snake who seeks to draw us away from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. He tempted Jesus to worship him in the wilderness. He sows tares among the wheat. He takes the word of God out of people's hearts so they won't believe and be saved. And he leads others to become liars just like he is. Finally, there's a final word in Revelation 20, verse 2, and it is Satan or Satan, which means adversary. And 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Be sober. Be sober. Be alert. Be vigilant." Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that we had a known terrorist living in our town. Everyone knows that terrorist is here. Everyone knows that terrorist is going around wreaking havoc. Everyone knows that terrorist is destroying our marriages and our families and ruining relationships and leading our kids to do drugs and leading them into alcoholism and is just ruining our city. And everyone knows that terrorist is here, and no one can do anything about it. Would you not want someone at some point to take him out? Yeah. Would you not rejoice if you knew that it was going to be maybe tomorrow, but you at least you knew that there was coming an end to his reign? Yes. Turn to Revelation 20 and let's hear the good news about the devil. Enough bad news. What is the good news about the devil? Number one, and I think you have this or part of this in your bulletins. Good news number one, soon this enemy of our souls will be bound for 1,000 years and cast into the bottomless pit. Verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven. Remember that John is on the island of Patmos. He's being punished for preaching the word of God and for preaching Christ. He lives in the Roman Empire where Christians are being persecuted. You can be certain that he would like nothing better than to know that the one who's behind all the evil in the Roman Empire is going to be taken down. And here it comes. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven. What is an angel? Are they not all, here's how you should answer that question. What's an angel? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Question mark. Yes, they are. Hebrews 1:14. God answers that question about angels with a question. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Yes. Praise God. And so is this one. Then I saw one of these ministering spirits coming down out of heaven, having what in his hands? Two things. A key? I don't know. Big key, little key? I don't know. I'm picturing a ginormous key. Having the key to the bottomless pit, or your Bible might say the abyss. The Greek word literally is to the bottomless place, to the place that has no bottom. Having the key to that, and a great chain in his hand. It's pictured of this chain draped over his hand. I'm picturing a giant spiritual chain that has the ability to wrap up the devil for good, that he can't get out of. And it's not a literal chain, or it's not a physical chain. It's a spiritual chain of some kind. Verse 2, and he laid hold of the dragon. That is the word for arresting. To lay hold of as laying hold of a terrible criminal. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, the devil and Satan. And he bound him, wrapped him up with that chain, for 1,000 years. How long is 1,000 years? Who knows? Very good. How long is a millennium? 1,000 years. Way to go. Now, just so that you don't become like those who think that 1,000 years is not 1,000 years, do you know there are a lot of people that think 1,000 years is not 1,000 years? So you see verse 2, end of verse 2, 1,000 years. That is found also in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7. Every time it's exactly the same, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, which is referred to as the millennium. Why? Because Jesus Christ is literally going to come again and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. But before that, an angel is going to come down out of heaven with the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He's going to grab hold of the devil. He's going to bind him for 1,000 years, and he's going to cast him into the bottomless pit. He's going to close the lid, verse 3 says, and shut him up and set a seal on him. Why? So that he can't get out. So that he can't operate. Do you know that there are people who believe today that this has already happened, and that's why there's no devil and no demons in the world? Don't believe that. That's not true. There are people that somehow think today we're in the kingdom and the devil isn't operating. You know what? If that's us, we are to be most pitied. We are of all men most pitiable. That's not true. But the day is coming, and it is good news, when the devil will be cast into the bottomless pit so that, middle of verse 3, so that he should deceive the nations no longer. Implied, right now he's deceiving the nations. And he is going to keep on deceiving the nations even into the end time. As we've seen here, the beast is going to rise up with the false prophet and nations are going to be deceived by him. But the day is coming when God is going to have his angel come down out of heaven, bind Satan and cast him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And you'd say, well, hallelujah, I look forward to the millennium. The millennial kingdom, it's going to be great. The devil's not going to be there. He's going to be bound. But I sure don't like the end of verse 3. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And the word for must is must. It is necessary that he be released for a little while. We'll get into that next time. I want to give you the second good news. He is going to be released for a little while. And when he's released for a little while, look at verse 7. You'll see what happens. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. And he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. I can't cover all that this morning. I couldn't cover 4 to 6 this morning. Know this. First, an angel is going to come down out of heaven and cast him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Then, yes, he's going to be released for a short while, but, good news number 2, after that, he is going to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and be tormented forever and ever. Look at verse 9. They went up on the breath of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints, the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil, verse 10, who deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Hallelujah. There is coming a day when God is going to be done with the devil. But we need good news number 3. I hope you think you need good news number 3. I do. Because this is future. And to say, oh, well, I mean, I guess that's good that one day, sometime down the road, an angel's going to come and throw the devil into the pit, and then 1,000 years later, that sounds way out there. And then he's going to come up for a little while, and then he's, but that, what about today? I mean, it's March 1st, 2020. I would like to have a little help today. So let me give you the good news right now. And it comes with a condition. You ready? Good news number 3. Right now, today, March 1st, 2020, if you are in Jesus Christ, you are safe from the devil. That's true. If you are in Jesus Christ, you are safe from the devil. Let me give you a number of truths that will confirm that. Number 1, if you are in Jesus Christ, God is for you. So it really doesn't matter who's against you. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And it doesn't mean no one can be against us. It means who can be against us and succeed. And the answer is no one. If you're in Jesus Christ, God is for you. And therefore, the devil can be against you all he wants, but he can't get you. Truth number 2. If you're in Jesus Christ, you can stand against the devil. I know people who are in churches who don't believe that, but it's true. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. That's true. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will leave you alone. He will flee. It's the word for run. He will run away from you. That is a great promise. And of course, you know Ephesians 6, which says to put on the full armor of God in order that you may be able to stand. Implied, you can stand. But you do need to put on the full armor of God. Truth number 3, if you're in Jesus Christ, you will overcome because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Good for you. You know this. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children. That means you've been born again of God. And you have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's the gospel. If you're in Christ, you're safe from the devil. You're already saved. He can't touch you. Another truth. If you're in Jesus Christ, the Lord himself, who is faithful, will guard you from the evil one. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you, and he will guard you from the evil one. This is good news if you're in Jesus Christ, but you know what? If you're not, you're in trouble. More good news if you're in Jesus Christ, and it's this. If you're in Jesus Christ, if you've been born again, the wicked one cannot touch you. 1 John 5:18. We know that whoever is born of God, talking about born-again believers, does not sin. That means the born-again believer does not continue living in sin. But that one who was born of God, a reference to Jesus Christ, keeps him, keeps the believer, and the wicked one does not touch him. 1 John 5:18 teaches that the devil cannot touch a born-again believer. He can't indwell you. Yeah, he can tempt you, but he can't touch you. He can never take your salvation away from you. He can never separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So listen, bad as the devil is, as bad of a monster he is, as bad of a snake he is, as much of a liar and a slanderer as he is, as much of an adversary as he is, if you are in Jesus Christ, I've got good news for you. You are safe from the devil. Amen. That is good news. And that's good news we ought to preach. Right? Yes, Jesus is the Savior from sins. Amen. Yes, Jesus is the Savior from hell. Amen. Yes, Jesus is the Savior from this present evil age. Amen. But he's also the Savior from the devil. If someone comes to you and tells you that a believer is possessed by the devil, don't believe it. That is not true. I've had that before. It's not true. If that person is possessed by the devil, that's not a believer. If that person is a believer, they're not possessed by the devil. So, if you are a Christian, if you are in Jesus Christ, you should be of good cheer. Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you so that in me you might have peace." You know what that means? Tranquility. You can be at peace. Yeah, there's a devil. I know. He's bad. Bad to the bone. He's around. He's a monster. He's a snake. But you know what? I live for Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm safe in Christ. I focus on Christ. I'm devoted to Christ. And so I'm not afraid. Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. And with that, Jesus Christ has overcome the devil. What if you're not in Christ? You know what? If you're not in Christ and you think you're okay, you've been deceived by the devil. The God of this world has blinded your mind, and there's only one way out. And that is for you today to come to Christ. Come to Christ. Call upon Christ. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved from the devil and from his deception. Humble yourself today before the Lord and say, "Lord, have mercy on my soul. Deliver me." Ask God, and he will answer. Put your faith in Christ. He will deliver you from the devil who tempts you, who deceives you. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Don't harden your heart today and say, "Well, maybe tomorrow." No, come to Christ today. And you will be saved, and that's more good news concerning the devil. Jesus Christ, today, this hour, this minute, can save you from the devil forever. All of this leaves one big question. Why does God even allow that snake, that monster, that scum, that terrorist, why does God even allow him to continue? I have good news for you. Ready? And I hope you believe it. Here's the good news. Our God is absolutely sovereign, and he knows exactly what he's doing. Amen. That's the answer. Now, there, I can answer it other ways. He probably allows Satan to continue as a punishment for sin that came into this world, Genesis 3. When God pronounced his judgment on sin, he said, "Well, the snake is going to be crawling on this dust of the earth, but he's going to be around." In part, maybe that's a punishment for sin. In part, maybe it's a test. It's the reason why God allows false teachers. Deuteronomy 13, God is testing you to see whether you will love him with all your heart. And so he allows false, devilish teachers to exist in the world. It's also a test, the way he left the Canaanites in the land, saying, "I'm going to leave them in the land because this is going to be a test to see whether you will love me." In part, it's for his own glory, so that when he finally does away and takes out the devil, he will receive the glory for it. And in part, it's for your own good. I had a friend ask me, "How can that possibly be for our good?" I said, "Have you ever been helped by the book of Job?" And my friend said, "Yes." And I said, "The book of Job wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the devil." So God does it for his glory, your good, to test people, to punish sin. But again, I go back to this. There is a God in heaven who is sovereign. If you ever want to take away the sovereignty of God, I will fight you. I will fight you. Because that is the good news. He is the God who is working all things together for the good of those who love him and who are the called according to his purpose. Praise God that he is sovereign. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this good news concerning our enemy, that he is done for, that you win, that Christ will destroy him, that he will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone forever and ever to be tormented there. In the meantime, thank you for saving us in Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to proclaim the good news of salvation from the devil. And Father, if there's anyone here who is exposed, who is not in Christ, who is not truly saved, who is resisting the truth, who is stiff-necked and hard-hearted, please, God, be merciful. Save that man today. Save that woman today. In Jesus' name, amen.